Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain and have Sean in studio. So this is a show about what matters most in life, our mind, our thoughts, feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment, this beautiful journey of life. So in this show, I'll bring you the latest research about the secret ingredient for coming up with great business ideas that can take off maybe something to do with a good night's sleep. And then I'll speak to Karen Elda. She's a business coach and a trusted advisor to industry-leading executives and superstar entrepreneurs who are setting records at the top of their fields. She's a TED speaker and the author of The Superstar Paradox. And be sure to subscribe to my podcast and YouTube channel and social media. I'm on Twitter, Fujian Dr. Zain, and Instagram, Dr. Fujian Zain. And I want to start something with you guys. I want to give you a prize, one of my CDs. And I'll tell you about the CDs next time. But I wanted to share with you that I love for you, as you're listening to the podcast, to go ahead and send me messages through either Instagram or my Twitter. And out of the people who are having the best questions so that we could really get into, and I'll answer them myself, or I'll have my guest to come and answer, and I'll send you a CD, one of my CDs, as a prize for you. Okay. So Twitter, Dr. Zain, Instagram, Dr. Fujian Zain. All right. I'll be waiting to hear from you, and we'll be right back with the tip of the week.
Hello, this is Dr. Fujian Zain. For all of you who are interested in changing something in your life, or shifting a new career, or bettering your intimate relationship, or, you know, it's just time to take care of you, but you really don't have time to take off from your busy day, or you're just too far away from my Beverly Hills or San Clemente office, I have a great offer for you. I'm only offering this time-limited package to you for online therapy if you are living in the state of California, or online coaching wherever you live around the world. Now listen, a 10-week package with a $500 discount. Call me to schedule your appointment, 818-648-2140, 818-648-2140, or go to fujian.com, F-O-O-J-A-N.com, for more information. It's time to take care of you, because you are worth it.
Welcome back. This week, I've been noticing how when we are divided or have a difference of opinion with someone else, we see the other side as wrong, evil, and see our sides, obviously, as the right one and the best one and the one in light. So the truth is that each side has its own reasoning and justifications for why their way works for them. You might have noticed this week feeling this way about politics, experienced it at work with your boss or employees, and in your intimate relationships and with your partners. So when one assumes that they won the argument this time, they feel happy and want to celebrate. When one assumes that they lost, they get resentful and scornful. So ultimately, in any long-term structure or relationship, winning and losing cycles, and there will always be an opportunity for one's ideas to get realized. So I've been working with marriages this week that build resentment and move further away from each other because each insists to prove to the other one that they are wrong and therefore feel like a winner, or one punishes the other one and thinks that they just won and because they got resentful and then they wanted to punish. And by punishing, they think that they won. Unfortunately, they get more divided and separated. And we see these all over the place. So let's understand each other in each other's point of views and negotiate for the benefit of the bigger picture, whether it's for our country or whether it's for our company or marriage or family or friendship. And in reality, we all live together and affect each other's lives directly and directly. I even think that we could apply that to the way we are with ourselves and to different parts of us, which are constantly battling. And how can we accept each part and just decide for ourselves, for the betterment of ourselves in any way that we can? The other topic that I wanted to talk to you about is Friday is Valentine's Day, a day to honor and express the love that we have for our loved ones. So be aware of how do you express your love? How different it is when it's expressed to your friends or family or children or your mate. I've known people who express their love to their children in such a beautiful way, but when it comes to their mates, it's like, I can't say those things to my mate or other people or friends. So it's interesting how we formulate in the way that we express our love. I think you should really look at how do you do that? And who do you hold love back from? And who are you very free with expressing your love? And how come? What's the difference? How do you create that distinction of how you're going to express your love or not? Do you express it verbally, physically, by hugging or giving gifts or by doing things for them? Or you withhold what you want to say or express? So let's do this for this Friday and maybe this whole week. Let's just start for the whole week, okay? And then if we really like it, maybe we'll continue. Let's not be stingy this year. Go all out and express yourself freely and graciously to everyone that you love and that you want them to know that you love them. Also observe how you receive love from others. Can you take it in? So allow the love that is around you to wash up and fill you, completely fill you. You deserve it. You deserve to be completely loved. And I'm sure if you allow it, there's a lot around that you can take in. We'll be right back with the latest research.
Check us out online at KMET1490AM.com.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zane. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
KMET Banning.
Welcome back. All right. Now, this is the latest research. Jeff Bezos and Arianna Huffington came up with brilliant ideas that turned into companies that are now household names, Amazon and Huffington Post. The secret ingredient for coming up with these ideas may be something we can all tap into, a good night's sleep. According to a new study done in the University of Central Florida, published in Journal of Business Venturing, sleep plays an especially important role in not only identifying a good business idea, but in evaluating it and believing it is viable. Entrepreneurs who consistently choose hustle over sleep, thinking that sleep comes after success, may be subverting their efforts to succeed. Everyone needs a good night's sleep, but it is especially important for entrepreneurs. Several studies have found the connection between sleep and job performance. Bezos and Huffington have both indicated they get plenty of sleep in various media interviews. Actually, I think Huffington, Arianna talked about collapsing and after collapsing and finding out that everything that she was doing was because she wasn't sleeping well and that's why she was collapsing. She took on a whole movement regarding this matter. She sold Huffington Post and is really now going into different businesses and showing the business world how important it is for them to take care of themselves and definitely sleeping 7 to 8 hours. But the new study found a link between sleep and the cognitive skills needed to identify and evaluate an idea. Entrepreneurs use experience and business knowledge to evaluate ideas that could turn into successful business ventures. But sleep appears to be an important factor as well. The study surveyed more than 700 entrepreneurs from around the world. The survey asked about sleep patterns, hours of sleep, and types of sleep. Business pitches were drafted, and an independent panel of business experts reviewed and ranked the pitches as having the most potential, medium potential, and least potential for success. Then the participants in the study reviewed the three pitches in the same day. Those leaders who had less sleep did not consistently pick the best pitches. In the second part of the study, a smaller group of participants evaluated the pitches over several weeks while charting their sleep patterns. Those participants who had at least 7 hours of sleep each night consistently selected the best pitches identified by the expert panel. Those who had less sleep or restless sleep did not consistently pick the best pitches. The evidence suggests that less sleep leads to less accurate beliefs about the commercial potential of a new venture idea. Since this study compared individual performance over multiple days, researchers can say that these results are consistent even for entrepreneurs who don't sleep as much on average as the general population. I guess sleep really works for everything, not only for entrepreneurs, but for everyone. And there was a lot of studies that also talked about sleep being so important for students and taking in information, storing it, and the retrieval of memory. And that's what we need. So I'm excited today to speak to Karen Eldad. She's a business coach and a speaker. She's a trusted advisor to industry-leading executives and superstar entrepreneurs who are setting records at the top of their field. Since 2016, powerhouses have sought her out to help them make significant breakthroughs in the profitable growth of their business while revitalizing their energy and defining the meaning of their entire lives. Over the last 3 years, Karen has developed measurably impactful and streamlined executive coaching process to do this while working with top organizations, including JP Morgan, Christian Dior, Van Cleef & Arpels, Vacheron, Constantine, and Waypoint Helicopter. Leasing and Beyond Capital. Karen is a seasoned speaker and has hosted talks around the world for the above companies, as well as the TED Talk. She has also been featured the Today Show, Bravo, Oprah Magazine, Cosmopolitan, CNBC, and many, many more. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back with Karen Eldad.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zane. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, the awareness path to create the life you want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Fujian Zane. For all of you who are interested in changing something in your life, or shifting a new career, or bettering your intimate relationship, Or, you know, it's just time to take care of you. But you really don't have time to take off from your busy day, or you're just too far away from my Beverly Hills or San Clemente office. I have a great offer for you. I'm only offering this time-limited package to you for online therapy if you are living in the state of California, or online coaching wherever you live around the world. Now listen, a 10-week package with a $500 discount. Call me to schedule your appointment, 818-648-2140, 818-648-2140, or go to Fujan.com, Foojan.com, for more information. It's time to take care of you, because you are worth it.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujan Zain, and I am excited to have Karen Eldad, my superstar coach, with us. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Dr. Fujan. It's a real honor to be here with you.
It's so nice to have you. So tell us first about you. What got you to want to be a coach and a business coach at that?
I will tell you with enormous pleasure, and it segments very nicely because you just spoke about Arianna Huffington. I happen to be a very big fan. As a matter of fact, just put down a different book called Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. And she had a collapse. She was a superstar by all stretches of the imagination. She collapsed on her desk, ended up with stitches across her face. And it was because she was exhausted and burned out. And my story is rather similar, except I didn't crash and burn on my desk. I went through a divorce and lost all of my things and my job and so on and so forth. Exhaustion and burnout, especially those that are the result of what you called the hustle, that entrepreneur incessant hustle, is a real thing. And it's extraordinarily affecting of all of us. Today, I coach people just like the former me, hopefully into a place where they don't collapse like that.
Definitely. And were you always in the business world? And that's why you went into the business coaching?
Pretty much. I was a C-suite leader executive at a billion-dollar company before I started doing this. And then before that, I was the publisher of a magazine. So I've sort of always travailed adjacent businesses. And today I coach really people of similar profiles. But I've expanded outside of that industry, because the truth is business today is a very malleable term. It can start up, it can mean billion-dollar or Fortune 500 company.
Karen, business are really changing. The structures are changing. And I've really come to terms, when I'm sitting with my clients, a lot of them are struggling about how the format of businesses are completely changing. People who've been in businesses for 20, 30 years, even and a lot of the small businesses, retail businesses are completely going to a new beginning, and they have no idea what to do. And I can see where people keep holding on to what they're comfortable with and what they knew. And although they want to, they keep doing this lip service of course I gotta change. But week after week after week, we talk in the session, and I can see them going right back into a place that they knew and they felt safe, although they know it's not working. They look at it going down. So what do you say?
I completely agree with you. There are two things that I say. The first is I actually dazzle them with the truth. Is retail dying? The answer is clearly no. Even in the luxury sector, I particularly coach luxury companies. That's absolutely not true. Hermes, Chanel, Dior, and many, many others have had a banner year in 2019 and will probably continue to do so. It's just that where people are shopping has changed. In addition, there are 36 times more millionaires today in the United States alone versus at the beginning of 2001. That's an unbelievable trajectory. So people have money, too. And so at the end of the day, it's not that retail has died, it's that you're looking at it from a different angle. The second thing that I like to dazzle them with is what you just said. It's a new beginning. A new beginning is an opportunity. And every time they circle back to their old ways, the job is to always nudge comfortably and gently and say, but what if it's a new beginning?
Mm-hmm. And the new beginnings sometimes are scary. What do you say to them when you have to take them from what they know they have to do, but they're afraid? And due to the fear, it's stops them from visualizing what can be done. One, they might not have the information of a new world, right? So for example, when I had my businesses were all kind of like small businesses. Maybe I had up to 60 employees and, you know, they were all around like psychotherapy. I really wanted to always have the angle of working one-on-one. So the businesses were always small where I could be with the people. But I even remember when I used to sit down and talk to my friends who had large organizations, and the mind frame was so different than at times when I would ask them about a solution. The solution that somebody would give me from a multi-million dollar and, you know, like 10,000 employee were so different than a small business, right? So these solutions are different that sometimes you can't, even when people are telling you about what can be the vision, you can't see that vision because where you're standing, that, you know, that paradigm doesn't even show up. How do you support in your coaching practices? How do you support that through the fear, through not even seeing that, you know, the next level of paradigm, for them to be able to get some vision?
Well, what you're talking about is a very simple phenomenon. It's the fear of failure, the fear of making a mistake. Everybody has this to a certain degree. And you'll, of course, agree with me that superstars, particularly C-level executives or leaders in big companies, especially if they've been in big companies their entire careers, are much more likely to suffer from this. Now, I'm not just speaking based on my experience. I assess over 100 individuals in this caliber a year with DISC assessments and Trimetrics assessments, and their profiles are heavily fearful of change. That is a mindset. There are many things you can do with that mindset. The first is the same thing you would do with someone suffering from anxiety. Take it easy and work with them through an inquiry process. Is that really the only way you could see things? Is there any other way you could see things? And through such explorations, they usually come up with a couple of additional options. That already softens the mindset. The second is to offer expanders, to offer, of course, facts and figures, such as the one I just presented for retail, but also to literally argue for what could go right. I like to see my role here almost as a litigator, a friendly, loving litigator. What if you actually got away with it? What if you actually did pull this off? And then they start getting excited about potential outcomes that are favorable. And from there, you always expand. You always do something a lot bigger.
And we're talking about your book, The Paradise, The Paradox, Superstar Paradox, which I know is a working title. And by the time it actually comes out and publishes, we might have completely a different title for it. The one that publisher chooses for you. You talk about... you don't know what you don't know. So there's this information that's out there that you are not privy to, and you wouldn't know to get there. So you talk about that, what it is that you kind of maybe fixated in one area and you have no clue about all these other areas that are in your blind spot.
Well, let's explain the two concepts and show everybody out there listening how this ties into the fear of failure and to wanting to go for everything you want to go for in your life and how you might be shooting yourself in the foot. The superstar paradox is a very simple paradox. It's when you have every box of success ticked off. You're doing well financially, or look like you're doing well financially. You're married. You have the right achievements for your societal picture, but you're still dissatisfied. You're not happy. Something deep inside isn't clicking. I see this phenomenon all the time in serious, serious overachievers. And by the way, they're not sleeping very well. That's a very heavy indication that they might be off of the beaten path. The second phenomenon, and the reason why most people who are superstars suffering from the paradox never self-diagnose or even admit that there's a problem, is knowing everything, thinking that they know everything. The reason I open with You Don't Know What You Don't Know, which is the title of my TED Talk, is the only way you'll ever start to cross the chasm to real happiness is by accepting that you don't know everything. You haven't figured everything out. The reason you're so dissatisfied is because you've been doing things without questioning why you're doing them for such a long time. And hopefully, again, this softening of what we know as cognitive biases and all of the structures that we form around ourselves to keep ourselves from really thinking deeply and inquiring our lives will get you started in on a path to super happiness.
That's exactly where I was when I was 30. I said to myself when I was, I think, 18, by the time I reach 30, I want to be married. I want to have my own business. I want to have my own house. I did. I was married. I bought my house and I had this really successful flower business, actually, flower design business, if you could imagine. I had the whole Rodeo Drive and I had Beverly Hilton and it was called like Princess Flowers. And then me and my partner were there. And we had like the different boutiques, and we had like, you know, weddings and bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs and, you know, engagements and birthdays. And I was going like crazy. And it was interesting that I was so unhappy.
Yeah.
So depressed and unhappy that at one point I just said, stop. I got where I wanted to get. And none of this makes me happy. I let go of my business to my partner. I got a divorce. I sold my house. And I just sat there like, okay. But it was interesting because I had no clue what to do anymore.
And then you started asking real questions, which have led to this, right?
Exactly. I started going into self-progress seminars and I went to therapy. And then I'm like, hey, I really like this one.
Same thing happened to me. I love to tell the story of how when I was 31 years old, I married a tall guy with nice hair because that's what my mother taught me I should marry. And I had a great job, meaning well-paying job, because I was good at something, not because I really, really wanted to do it. And so I remember waking up. I'm 34 years old. I'm sleeping in my library because I haven't had sex with this guy since we got married. And everything around me was miserable. And it's not that the job wasn't okay. It just wasn't what I really, really wanted to do. I had literally lived a lifetime of making decisions that were right and that were the next logical thing rather than who I am. And that's when I picked up my first self-help book. And the rest, as they say, is history. But you got to go through that, you know, that moment. And you'll either do that through listening to a conversation like you and I are having and something resonating with you, God willing. Or you will go through what Dr. Bujan and I have gone through, which is destroying all the systems before making that progression.
Yes, we're talking to Karen Eldad. She's a business coach and a strategist. Now, you also talk about be careful with what you wish for, which is exactly what we were talking about. I asked, I got it. I really strive for it, and I got it. And there's also this piece where like you hope, and then suddenly get it. And then you're like, you're not happy. And then that hope goes down. And there's a time where you have to refocus and open yourself up to something, which is what you were just talking about. You don't know what you don't know, but you got to let go by force sometimes, hopefully by choice, of what you thought everything was great and you wished for in order to have this opening of other means of joy to appear in your life.
Well, you got to be careful what you wish for. And the reason you have to be careful what you wish for is because you are not aware most of the time of where you're asking from. For example, most of us are asking for more money. But as Pastor Joel Osteen likes to say, are you asking for more money or are you asking to be a better slave? Most people, when they're asking for more money, the paradigm inside their head is, I must work harder. So they end up working themselves to the ground for the more money. Is that really a logical trade-off? No. In addition, when so many people are looking today for significance, for validation, for superstardom, what are they really asking for? Are they asking for long-lasting love, or are they asking for adulation, which goes away, is fleeting, will never sleep with you at night?
Mm-hmm.
There are wonderful moral fables about this. One of the stories that I like the most is the story, the urban legend of Lupe Velez. She was an actress in the 1930s who really wanted to be a legend. She wanted to be remembered forever, but her career was going nowhere. She slept with directors, that didn't work. She didn't get any really good roles, that didn't work. So she decided she would give it one last shot. She would commit suicide, but in a way where she was so beautiful when they found her body that she would be remembered as the most glamorous cadaver of all time. Unfortunately, As her last meal, she chose Mexican food. So she tripped on her way to the bathroom, and they found her with her head inside the toilet. Now, she was remembered forever. But see, that's the point. Where are you asking from? Are you asking for legitimate happiness, or are you just asking for fame?
And sometimes the illusion is that if you have those things, that you're going to be happy.
Yeah.
So that's where you live in that delusion. You talk about you can't hit the marks when you aim to the opposite direction.
Yeah, that's the ultimate delusion. The ultimate delusion is you're trying to hit the mark by aiming at money, by aiming at success, by aiming at fame, by aiming at power. But if you just aim it at happy, you would get to happy. And then you would get the power and the success and the fame. Everyone is missing the mark of happiness because they keep thinking that happiness is something out there. Once they get the money, they will be happy. And anyone who's ever made money knows this. That's really not where happiness is.
So what I'm hearing from you is to start looking at the contextual aspect of what makes you want to get up every morning and enjoy the day in a way that you could be productive and functional. And that is how you become a superstar of your own life, because the rest of how you do what you do is always out there. But how you feel inside, the state of being that you create inside, is something that happens inside. And the come from, if it's attached to a behavior or havings of outside, then you're going to be disillusioned at one point, because the same doings and the same results might not necessarily create that. But if you're contextually looking at what's going on inside of you, from there you can navigate anything, and you're enjoying it. And when you're enjoying it, ultimately you can plan and get where you want to get.
Exactly. I mean, it's precisely right. What you're looking for is a life that is not pleasurable, but good and meaningful. There are different things. Pleasure, little hits, never last. And Dr. Martin Seligman and the entire school of positive psychology have proven that they have absolutely zero effects on your overall happiness. But meaning, serving other people, and a life that is good, that really depends on you experiencing flow, the real losing of yourself in the activities that you choose to do, is what produces a life that is lastingly happy. In order to do that, I recommend that anybody listening right now do a very simple thing. Just take all the systems in your life, your relationship, your primary relationship or relationships, your job, your day-to-day routines, and your health, and ask yourself, am I happy? Is this working? Am I truly living and deriving as much satisfaction as possible? And get honest with yourself. If you feel out of balance, if your relationship has not been intimate in a very long time, if your finances are actually not very good and you are overworked and exhausted, ask yourself, what can I do to start feeling happiness right now? What tweaks can I make to start really acting on passion, integrity, and happiness right now? There are lots of books that will help you, like Solve for Happy by Mo Gaudat, like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey.
Like mine. Life Reset.
There are also immense amounts of programs. You have a virtual program, and sometimes you're available for coaching. Other people are always here for people who really want to make that leap and use it. There's, I think, not a moment to waste. It's not in anybody's self-interest to live life not perfectly happy.
When I work with people, Karen, when they know they're not happy and they know they want to in order to shift their life to something that they know they'll be happy about, that is their passion. They come to this concept of where I have a family that I have to, provide for. There are areas that I have a job that I'm not happy with, but I get paid for it. So based on that, I got to work, you know. And there isn't enough time where I can work here 40 hours and then get trained or start making similar amount of money on the things that I have that I love. What are your suggestions for people who are going from one extreme, one type of a job to the next, which is their passion?
I completely understand that because, of course, I hear it all the time, too. I can't do what I really love. It doesn't pay. Is that true? It's the only question I ever ask. Don't you know somebody who's rocking it at a very serious level, doing something you really want to do? The answer, by the way, to is that true is always no. It's a fallacy in their head. For example, a lot of coaches make, I don't know, $40,000 a year. In New York, I'd be dead. So I decided not to listen to that and really cultivate what was truly my desire and my passion and not let that be a factor. Now, in order to not let that be a factor, I'll advise all of the people out there who are thinking this way to do what I did in the beginning and what I advise all entrepreneurs to do. Don't jump straight to the next thing. Sidestep. Make it a side hustle. Now, I understand that everybody thinks that they have the most limited amount of time, but that's not true. I don't have more time than you do. And neither did, I don't know, Jeff Bezos, who started his company as a side hustle in the basement of his own house. All of us straddle two worlds for a certain period of time if we're not independently wealthy, and most entrepreneurs are not. And we live today in a passion economy. 40% of the United States is doing this, having a side hustle, working on the side. Dedicate to your passion what you can. And one day, when you feel solid enough, soon, 1 year, 2 years, and you're earning enough on that side hustle, you will be able to make that leap much more easily, much more smoothly. But at least start.
Yeah, exactly. I remember doing exactly the same thing. I was working full time in companies and management of companies. And then I went back to school and had full-time positions and full-time internships and then shifted. And then I went into companies, even as a therapist, and I went to hospital and running outpatient hospitalizations and all, you know, clinics and all of them. Like, I just want my own practice and I want my own company. So even then it was working part-time in corporate world and then starting my practice until my practice got up. And then I started my own agency. And then after I created my own psychology model, I'm like, I want to give up all the agencies and just, you know, do the model and teach the model. So it's always been this kind of a, you know, shifting slowly to one thing, building this up, letting go, and then, you know, putting all of my 100% in one thing. And what you're saying and what you did for yourself, I've done it that way exactly. And every time has hit the mark and worked.
You know what really you and I have in common that everybody else should work towards is the understanding of yourself. The real accepting of yourself, the understanding of yourself, and the understanding of what you're capable of. When you really understand that you are capable, that you are indeed a person who should honor their desires, they're not going to go away. You don't listen to those little voices in your head that tell you the 10 reasons why you can't do it. All of us have families. Most of us have families. Most of us have only 24 hours a day. All of us only have 24 hours a day. And I'm no different from anybody else. I just did it. And weathered that from the place of knowing that this is an honoring of myself and I deserve to do it.
When you talk about the family, I've also noticed that most of people who are afraid, they're caring about their families and things they can't do or shift or change. And when they honestly go and talk to their mates, to their parents, to their family, to their children, it is amazing how much support they get.
This is so true. That's one of those, another unfounded fear. My wife will leave me if. She probably won't. She's probably going to actually tell you that you are very talented and you should try to do this. However, you should also understand that you're working within a certain structure. Honor that structure, assuage, and make sure that, you know, everybody understands that you're doing this the safe way and the right way. And hopefully everybody will move forward together.
Yeah. So Karen, when somebody hires you as a coach, as the superstar coach, and they want you to work with them, what are some of your strategies in supporting them? What is the course that you take them from where to where?
Well, it's a very, very straightforward process that I created for people who are essentially like me, very intense personality types that don't need to be told to do their homework. They're already kind of machines, right? So instead, we're gearing them in the first portion of the program which only lasts for 14 weeks. We only spend 14 weeks together, no matter who you are. Clearing up blind spots, just sitting, relaxing, getting everybody to slow down and to just feel feelings, discuss feelings, ask yourself about thought processes so that we really get to understand you and understand where you might be operating from. And once we got a really strong handle on that, then we start to replace all of those wonky beliefs and limiting paradigms that are not serving you, that are producing the paradox, that are causing overwhelm, that are causing you to miss the mark, and turn them around so that you actually start producing very, very different results. And everybody starts seeing this within 7 to 10 weeks. And hopefully by the end of the program, we've really started to live free.
Mm-hmm. You've tended to really want to work with overachievers. A lot of what I read in the Superstar Paradox talks about how overachievers get themselves stuck and into a system of like the wheel, the rat wheel, or, you know, the Ferris wheel that they keep going, and they get exhausted, get off for a minute, and then they get anxious, they get up on it and go, and then get, you know, this thing keeps going. And you really have experienced what an overachiever is. And then that's where you're saying we just kind of go and get them off the wheel and sit. Yeah. And now that you sit and you're not on the wheel, now really look at yourself. And from that, you go into the feelings, which is, let's look at reality of who you are, where you are, how you feel, and what got you to feel this way, and then what belief systems got you to feel this way, and to get yourself where you are. And then you kind of challenge the beliefs back and forth and look at which ones are workable and which ones are not workable, take on the workable ones, and then open them to new workable belief systems that they can create and turn their lives into what needs to be done.
Yeah, but in so doing, you have to kind of destroy the mechanisms that they've been using to not face that stuff. The reason I like overachievers or superstars is because, like I say always, superstars are people too. Like, in fact, according to the University of Scranton, 32% of people consider themselves overachievers, even though, technically speaking, people who achieve above and beyond the mean are only 8% of the population. So you've got a third of the population who really suffer from the same set of issues. They suffer from the imposter syndrome, the fear of not measuring up. They suffer from deep dissatisfaction, anxiety, overwhelm, trouble sleeping, and the incessant hustle. So these are all subset of behaviors that are attributable to superstars. The reason I empathize with them so deeply is because I understand why they are so stunted. The reason they're so stunted, as I was, and as you were probably, maybe, is because we were all heavily reliant on self-esteem, and we had it in spades. To the person looking at you with your super successful floral design on Rodeo Drive business, with the marriage, with the everything, with the good looks, you looked like you had a superb life, and you showed that you had a superb life because you look like a confident person. So did I. I had all the boxes checked. However, self-esteem has nothing to do with self-love. Nothing to do with self-acceptance. Self-esteem is what we achieve and what we look like, and then how we measure that against the majority of society. So many superstars think they've got it figured out until, of course, they gain 15 pounds, they lose a marriage, and or they get a bad review at work. Self-love is the exact opposite of that. And you have to blast through the systems upon which people have built that confidence, really almost destroy those, in order to show them who they really are, that they really are worthy, that there is nothing to be afraid of. And from there, to teach them how to speak to themselves in a different way, in a compassionate way that allows them to A, create empires, and B, sleep.
When we're looking about the superstardom concept or the illusion of the superstardom, you also, I'm sure, are coming into the phase of that. It has become much more accessible suddenly to become a success with 15-minute fames or become a success because, you know, you created one startup and then, you know, you were able to sell it in billions, or you were did some goofy thing on the YouTube and then suddenly became viral and you were a YouTube influencer, and then you have to keep that up. But then, so prematurely, sometimes you get to stardom and then you're trying to kind of just hold on to it and you have no idea how to. Or when other people see that, oh my God, like you saw Billie Eilish, I'm sure that you've got the, you know, the awards and the most amount of awards. And her own was like, I had no idea. We're just doing this, you know, sister and brother, and we're just loving what we do. And we had no idea this is what's going on. And I'm sure a lot of other young kids, like 17 and 18, are like, well, we're not doing having our band in our bedroom or the garage. And if she got it that way, then how come we're not? And this concept suddenly, because of the accessibility to sharing yourself in a very different way, where before you only there were only institutions and you had to really pass through all these gates of the institutions to get somewhere. And now a lot of gates have opened. And you can get where you need to get, like even publishers, like you can now self-publish. You could do so many things where you could be having your own audience and figure it out. The concept of success has also changed.
Yeah.
And the expectation that people have of themselves completely has changed in what they call success. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, now we're taking cues on Instagram for what looks like success and what success is. Here's what I personally know. There is no such thing as overnight success. It's not accidental. It always has to do with ownership. Billie Eilish has been practicing for an incredible amount of time.
Yes.
She's seen herself in that particular role for a very, very long amount of time. In addition, if there is such a thing as overnight success, your YouTube video of your cat went viral, it is a freak accident and will not be sustainable. This is an energetic exchange question. It's like plugging in your phone to the wall without the white thing that charges it. Your phone would explode if it received all that energy at the same time. It's just not sustainable. All of us who are successful and remain successful for long periods of time have worked hard to get here. Not exhaustingly hard, but we have done the work, we have earned this, and we are certainly able to then modify it and give it out in a way that remains intact for long periods of time. Otherwise, anybody could copy what anybody's doing, throw a website out there, and just rock their life, right? But that's not how it works. It really isn't. So ownership is a very, very big paradigm that hasn't shifted. The only thing that has shifted is we are believing what we're seeing on Instagram. And again, if you start doing the work and living your life happily, those cues won't matter to you very much anyway. And they certainly won't distract you out of doing what you really want to do with your life, which will really teach you that what anybody else is doing is besides the point. You go be happy.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I do get to see that a lot of people measure themselves with the society that they've gotten into with the Instagram and Facebook and, you know, LinkedIn and Twitter and all of that. And not Twitter, but the other ones. And then you could really see how they are measuring themselves up. And I think that watching so that their contextual aspect, that their mood, or what you talked about, self-esteem and self-confidence, does not get shattered by illusions of what other people are doing. Because most people are not sharing their ups and downs. Most people are sharing their success. And they're not, you know, they're not putting, sharing all the steps that they're doing actually and moving forward. So since you, most of, as I hear you, concentrate on the contextual level of the person, this is also very important to really anchor down in what it is that makes you happy. Because I think what makes you happy might be different than what makes me happy or anybody else. So another token that I'm hearing from you is you got to get what makes you happy.
Absolutely. You know, again, there are two classes of people. There's under the age of 25. They're very, very young. God bless them. They will continue to listen to what they're seeing on social media and take it as gospel. And I'm a suicide counselor. I'm a volunteer with Crisis Text Line. We see it all the time. They really are bullied and incredibly diverted and caused distress by the images on Instagram. But those of us who are over 25, we're grown-ups. And grown-ups have fully formed consciousness. And at the end of the day, if you really do the work and bring your full self to Instagram, it doesn't have to hurt you. You can really learn how to run your own race. You can really learn that every image that looks perfect cannot possibly be perfect. And therefore, it has no applicability to your life. And in the end, and here's the most important thing that any superstar should really come to terms with, competition doesn't mean anything. It's like if Madonna looked at Prince and said, he's doing cooler things than me in the 80s. It doesn't matter. They're both amazing artists. When you have the wherewithal to do what you really, really know you can do and put in the work for, go forth. Those images shouldn't trouble you at all. You should be happy for them.
Last conversation, something we haven't talked about, and you know the secret, and you really want to reveal the secret to everyone who's listening or watching us.
Well, the last thing I want to say is, you know, the key to all this is to discover vulnerability. I know that Brené Brown has talked America to death on this topic, but many people still don't understand what vulnerability is. And all it is this: get honest. Just learn to be honest about who you are, and not unapologetic, not in your face. Just be honest about your troubles. We all have them. About your ups and downs. We all have them. When you're a leader, you make a mistake. Say, I made a mistake. No one's going to die. Be forgiving towards yourself and towards others. And when you learn how to do that, you're never going to rely on self-esteem again, on false aggrandizement, on bravado. And you'll live a much happier life. Vulnerability.
Beautiful. Where can they find you?
I'm on KarenUpstead.com.
Say that again.
I'm on KarenUpstead.com, KerenUpstead.com. And at Coach Karen on Instagram and the Coached Podcast, where people can call in and ask me questions. And those are enough ways to find me.
Now, remember, her name is K-E-R-E-N, because most people, Karen, they do K-A. So her name is KerenUpstead.com. And it was a pleasure speaking with you. And thank you for coming on my show. And you're wonderful. Tools that you gave everybody that was listening. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Fujian. It's been an extreme honor to meet you finally.
Oh, it's so sweet. And for all of you who are out there, create an amazing world for yourself and everyone around you. Remember, I'm going to give you one of my CDs. Go into Instagram, Dr. Fujian Zain, or go to Twitter, Dr. Zain. I want to hear from you. Give us good questions so we could come back and talk about the answers to your great questions. Until next week, bye-bye.